From the Gospel of Luke in chapter 14, on one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. I am perfect. That was the statement a man once made. I am perfect if it wasn't for four little problems. Number one, I would be perfect, but I lack humility. B, I'd be perfect, but I lack consistency. And finally, I don't know how to count. The number one problem was in fact a positive for the man, because he knew he lacked humility. Isn't it challenging for us to embrace the full context of this powerful statement by Jesus in verse 11 of our text today? When he says, those who humble themselves will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. We embraced that teaching as being central to our faith. As I reflected with our young disciples this morning, this narrative, not only of the parable that Jesus says to us about embodying a spirit of being humble, it's found throughout Scripture. We hear these words in Luke today where Jesus said, humble yourselves. But we also hear that James, the brother of Jesus, embraced this message so much that in chapter 4, verse 10 of his scripture, he says very similarly, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. 1 Peter says that same writing almost word for word in chapter 4, verse 16. Peter says, if we will humble ourselves in due time, the Lord will exalt us. And yes, finally, that beautiful passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, what has become for many a call to repentance and returning to our God as a nation, when the writer says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, then I will turn to them. I will heal their land and I will hear their prayers. We see a consistent thing throughout Scripture that when we as the church, when we as people of faith, when we as individuals on a ball team or in an organization or with a group of people that we're seeking to lead, when we humble ourselves, then God, through His grace and love, can and is eager to exalt us. You know, as we think about the context of that, if we are fueled by pride, which is the opposite of humility, then there's nowhere for us to go up, right? If we already think of ourselves as being something more special than others, or thinking too highly of ourselves, then how can our gracious God even exalt us? It inspires in us, if we lack humility, it inspires in us more of an attitude of entitlement. We think we deserve more. We're not grateful for the gifts that God graces us with because we're not humble. We think we deserve it. You see, we hear this call to humility from our God because it's also a call for us to know the true joy of living in relationship with God. You know, as a child, if we think we're entitled to a special treatment from our parents or our loved one, then how can we ever be grateful when they truly do gift us with their love and affection? You see, we steal our own joy when we lack humility. Maybe that's the essence. And certainly central to the call of our faith of our God when our Lord says, take it upon yourselves to humble yourselves. You hear the context there? It's not just a simple call to say that humility is important, but our God is saying it's so important that you need to take ownership. You need to strive daily and in all you do to humble yourself. Pursue it aggressively. Cherish it so that God may be the one to exalt you instead of exalting yourself, and we may know the true joy when God does bless us. Isn't that what Jesus says as He ends our text today? That if we humbly rely on the Lord, then we indeed, all of us, will be exalted, even if it's not until that heavenly realm where all of our needs and wants, if they're consistent with the love of our Lord, are fully realized. We, dear friends, are exalted through the humble nature of Jesus Christ, who gave His all that we may be lifted up. You know, another lesson I find in humility is the reminder that we can't do it alone. Some of us that are familiar with the great story of the great Satchel Paige, one of the most successful baseball pitchers of all time. Satchel Paige, the story goes, once told all of his fielders to sit down that he was going to retire the side all by himself. I don't know if that's legend or if it really occurs. But I don't think even the greatest pitcher in the major leagues today would be willing to do that, because he knows we are better together. We can achieve more as a unified body than we ever can alone. You see, that is a gift to us when we are humble. You know, one of the great gifts of our church, yes, Ripley Presbyterian Church, but more importantly, the Presbyterian denomination. If I can put a thumb on one of the great gifts that we offer to the Christian church, is that we are a people committed to a spirit of unity rooted in humility. You see, when we're humble, we're willing to at least strive to see the other person's point of view. When we're humble, we're willing to say, you know, maybe I don't have all the answers. When we're humble, we're willing to say, we can do more together than we ever could alone. Friends, that is something we celebrate. We should be pleased to announce, not engulfed in our pride, but passionate to say, we can do more through the grace of our God to share His love, to make His world a better place by striving humbly to work together for His good. Isn't that what is alluded to? It sounds in John's beautiful reading. Didn't he do a lovely job today? From that Hebrews text where he said we should strive for mutual love. You know what I like about that call to faith? That's what happens when we are humble. Mutual love means that not only do we have an affection for each other, it's mutual. We reciprocate. How about that? That's a fancy word. Not only do we have that love for each other, but it's a mutual commitment to one another, to work together. That's what we do when we're humble, Ken. Not only do we have an affection for each other, but we have a commitment to work together. You see, when we humble ourselves, most of all, when we humble ourselves, we enable the capacity to give God more glory. Isn't that the essence of our faith? The beginning and ending of wisdom, Solomon said, is to fear God, to revere God, to glorify God above all and certainly our own interest. We think of that spirit of humility on this Labor Day weekend, this great holiday that was instituted in a time where labor was intense in our nation in the early turn of the 19th century, where there was a need to celebrate for the common man and woman the power of their united efforts to move our country forward. They wanted to set a day apart to say, let's celebrate what we as a nation, what we as a people can do together more than we can ever do in isolation. You see, that's the essence of this holiday. It's to celebrate what we as a national workforce do to not only make our nation stronger, but so that we can serve the world around us as an example of how God has blessed us. One of the great lessons I learned in humility, I've shared with some of you before as a seminary student, as I was learning to share the gospel in a way through preaching and reflecting God's word with others. One of my favorite professors was a gentleman who's departed this world now and has gone to glory, named Dr. Paul Brown. Dr. Brown was a great teacher of homiletics, that's preaching. And he shared with me that we should include within our preaching language that can sometimes be heard as suggestive language. Allow the listener to wrestle with the text with you. Allow and encourage them to think for themselves. He said, sometimes we can communicate more about the faith by raising questions than we can by giving answers. After this specific lecture, I asked Dr. Brown, I said, Dr. Brown, I hear what you're saying, and that is very encouraging and inspiring, but as I reflect upon the messages, the sermons of Jesus, often He was direct, He was to the point, as He was in our text today, as He said to the host, and He said to those in attendance, be humble. And Dr. Brown said, you're right, Jesus was more direct and less suggestive in His preaching, Jody, but the truth is, you're not Jesus. We're not Jesus. So may we humble ourselves daily. And not only remember that our efforts are not to be self-serving, But more importantly, they're to serve our Savior. You know, many of us woke up this morning to the frightening news of Hurricane Dorian that is soon to hit the Bahamas. That small group of numerous island chains in which the hurricane will slow down and distill much destruction and torrential rain upon that land. And certainly we want to lift up those people in our prayers and be mindful of what they're facing, those people over there. But you know, this week that hurricane came a little closer to home for some of our people. At Blue Mountain College, I had the pleasure of serving with Dr. Jerry Lamar Cantac. Some of you know Jerry Lamar. She's an active member in First Presbyterian Church, Tupelo. Jerry Lamar's daughter just began classes this year at the University of Florida. And when her daughter made that trip to Gainesville, it made Hurricane Dorian become much more important in the life of their family. You see, the call of humility in our text today, when Jesus ends by saying, when you give a banquet, don't just invite your family and friends, invite those that can't return the favor. In other words, Jesus is saying true love, true humility, is when the hurricanes of life and the torrential winds blow up on any people, may we see them just as Jerry Lamar saw her daughter in the path of destruction. When we humble ourselves, we see that without God's grace, we could never stand. And we're willing to look at the brother, the sister, the person in need around us as also someone who needs to be nurtured with our love and the gift from above. May we daily humbly serve our Lord as we share His love with the world in need. Amen.